We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
What's going on, everyone? Joe to camera, and usually it's Sean Ritchie, the Mac Man, Jody Mac in today, and the remainder of this week. Wonderful to be off and rolling with you on this Thursday morning. Quite a day yesterday, and a lot to discuss today, as I took the big old L. Me and Fritz, big old L for me. Now, big old W for the Phils. W like walloping. The San Francisco Giants yesterday. Stars of the game, obviously, Bryce Harper and Jesus Luzardo. Star of the day, Jack Fritz. We'll get into it all in great detail. We'll do a lot on the Eagles as well. They are getting oh so close to training camp. Perhaps, I'm going to guess, even closer than you think. We'll get to it all in great detail. 215-592-9494. MacMan!
Hello, Joseph.
Hello, Joseph Anthony Aloysius McDonald Jr., who looked at me yesterday and shook his head. And you didn't say it, but I know what you were thinking, Judy.
I shook your hand.
You did shake my hand.
If I shook my head, I apologize.
No, you shook your head internally. Like, I didn't see you shake your head, but I know you were shaking your head. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't do it, but I knew it was being done by many. Hey, rightfully so. He kicked my tail fair and square. All credit, glory, and congratulations to Mr. Jack Fritz.
I got the job and pleasure of just hanging with you the last couple of days and speculating on how it was going to go. You got to give Jack credit. He threw strikes.
Tremendous
threw
credit.
Strikes.
That's the one thing
all
we
came
didn't
down to.
Know.
Yeah.
We didn't know if he's going to be able to throw strikes. Would he get nervous if he wasn't throwing strikes? He was cool as a cucumber out there on the hill because he was throwing strikes.
I mean, there's no question.
And he made your job very difficult, bud.
Yeah, no, he did. Look, I mean, really, all credit to him. He was unbelievable. As I texted like 500 different friends yesterday, what happened? He was pumping in strikes, and I wasn't hitting them. Not enough. I mean, some ground balls
you
to third base.
You made contact, which was good.
Times,
it could
have
been more embarrassing than it was.
Yeah, but it's still.
But you made contact.
It's still pretty bad. I expected to do better. He certainly surprised me with his high percentage of strikes. I mean, he really, really surprised me. He impressed me. I do feel like I could have done better and should have done better, but I did not. That's on me. And 1-1. Seltzer, I mean, it was quite a day.
The most crazy thing yesterday was the hundreds of people that showed. It was wild.
I would guess, here's my guess, for those that weren't there or haven't seen video, I would guess between 300 to 450 people.
Okay, so I was thinking around 300was the number in my head, and I'm not the best
at estimating those crowds. You see the people on the roof?
Dude, it was nuts. People on the roof, people down the lines. Like, it was an event.
It was.
And it felt really neat to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, it was very cool. Now, to be fair, you did not come through yesterday.
No, at all.
We got to call it like we see it. Jack dominated. Jack was awesome yesterday.
He was awesome. I was not. Look, credit to him. Congrats to him. Thank you to everyone who was out there. I mean, it was really quite a day. I had a ball. I really did.
Did you see the moms?
So, you know, I was looking for them. No, no, I didn't, actually. I mean, maybe they were there, maybe they weren't. I don't know. I wondered that. There were so many people.
I will say, there was a lot of Hammer support.
There was.
There were a lot of people doing Hammer chants, you know, rooting for you. Obviously, Anthony in Jersey, you know, was loud and proud there, you know. Yeah, but
so I was in the crowd.
It was tough.
Yeah.
You stayed in the dugout, James. Where were you while it was
so
taking
I went back
place?
And forth. I was mostly in the dugout when the actual competition was happening, but I was kind of going out down the line a little bit and then, you know, behind
I specifically went behind home plate because I wanted to be able to judge the ump. I got a chance to meet the ump after we talked to him on the air.
Yep.
Good dude, nice son.
Great guy.
I had a really good conversation with him ahead of time, but I'm sorry, I was going to judge him. And I told him after the fact, I said, you missed the second pitch.
That's what I said in the moment. The second pitch was high. There's no question it was high. I think there were two pitches he missed. There were two high pitches that
perfect.
I thought.
No, he was not perfect.
But I will say, he did a pretty good job.
You know what,
he said to me afterwards, he goes, I was almost perfect. I said, yeah, you were. He was damn good behind the plate.
You know what he was?
He just missed one early.
MacMan?
What's that?
He's better than I was.
That's very true.
All right, so look, I'll field your phone calls and questions and comments, and if you were there, it was fun. It was. And so obviously, and I'll give you a lot more details as we move, but hit us up, 215-592-9494. You can consider this four-hour show a four-hour press conference. I ain't ducking, I ain't running. I'll stand here and answer the tough questions. Fire away at me, bring it.
Did you have a meltdown?
No, I didn't have a meltdown. I had a skill down.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. So let's get to the Phils obviously did a great job yesterday. Two stars, Bryce and Lizardo. Credit to both of them. Important because they're two guys we know the Phillies are going to want to lean on in October. So really good to see them do what they did. And obviously you can weigh in on the Phils, who, by the way, Mets did not play yesterday, postponed. So the Phils currently half game up as we sit here on July 10th. So weigh in on the Phils, 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the Eagles. Jody, I got to tell you, so you've been here this week. You've been here a couple shows in recent weeks when John's been out. I don't think that we have, like, led a show with the Eagles, but maybe three or four times in the last month and a half, which may be a mistake as a show and a radio station. Look, the bottom line is that the Phillies are giving us a compelling year. I mean, they're very good. They don't play great all the time. They aggravate us. And so people keep yo-yoing back and forth between this, like, I feel like pretty damn good and I feel really bad. And then we go back and forth and we do all those these shows about that. And that's fine. That's good and it's compelling. And they likely should make October, but we don't know that they will. Here's what we do know. The Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple months ago. They're the best team in Philadelphia sports. They may be, and I'll use the word may again, they may be the best team in the NFL this upcoming season. They certainly project to be amongst the best. And, you know, hopes and hype couldn't be higher for a coming season. But what's been interesting is having such a good outlook, from a certain standpoint, has made offseason conversation a little bit more difficult. I mean, there's not the consternation about, you know, coach that there normally is. In many ways, there's not for quarterback. There is to an extent. But, I mean, even when they were losing all the players on defense, a lot of people in March were like, I don't care. My team just won the Super Bowl. I'm in a good mood. So, all right, here's where I'm at, and here's where I want to get to at 215-592-9494. Everybody's in a good Eagles mood, as you should be. Here's what I'm going to ask you out of the gate today. Because, Jody, we are, you know how many days we are to training camp?
The exact number?
Yeah, I got it written down. What do you think it is?
About 12?
12.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
not about 12, actually. Okay. Actually 12.
Like I remember when it was exactly 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks to go, 2 days ago.
Right.
So I did the math, came up with 12. Got to give me props for that.
I do. I would guess many people listening are not really, we're not aware that it's 12 days. So with all this hype, hoopla, excitement, but also it's been a little dormant, let's make it less dormant. Let's bring it back today. And I'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494 what you're looking forward to with this football team this season. There's so many parts. There's games. There's the first game. There's the KC game. There's parts of the team. Jody, when I ask you what you're looking forward to with this Eagles season, because let's just lean into the fun, what do you got?
Vic Fangio. Because nothing short of genius work out of him last year. And yours truly included said, I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude.
Yep.
Because the Dolphins weren't great. He was in fighting with several of the players. I thought it was more likely obnoxious players like Jalen Ramsey that it wasn't Fangio's fault. But if you're not there every single day, we're not down in Miami, you don't know. But we know their defense came up real small the year before. And I said, he's got a great track record in history, but it's been a while since he's been one of the best defense coordinators. I kind of need to see it for myself. And he came in here and was the best defensive coordinator in the National Football League. Bar none. Not close. He buried the rest of the competition in that vein. Can he do it again?
Yeah.
With
going to be harder, Jerry.
With
going to be harder.
Lesser talent.
There's almost no question. I mean, until you see him, you don't know like 1,000%. But I would put it at 999.9% that it's an almost guaranteed lesser. I mean, look who they lost. They lost Milton Williams. They lost Sweat. They lost Slay. They don't have Nakobe, at least for some stretch. I mean, it could be a long, long, long stretch.
BG,
CJ, GJ. I mean, they lost a lot. They lost their fourth corner. They lost a lot. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Vic Fangio thing's going to be fascinating. 215-592-9494. Seltzer, what are you looking forward to this year?
The Jalen Hurts MVP year. I really think Jalen is going to take a massive step forward this year. You know how much I believe in him already.
Yep.
I think this is the year that Jalen shuts everyone up. I really do. I think they're going to throw more. I think it's going to be a point of the offense. I think they're going to try and save Saquon throughout the season. They're going to use him, but I think they want Saquon ready to go in January and February. And I think Jalen's going to shine. I think Jalen's going to be awesome this year.
Rhea, what do you got? What are you looking forward to this year?
It's a little bit off of what James just said, but I think, you know, we make such a big deal about, oh, he's got a new offensive coordinator. This guy's been here. Kevin Petula has been here 5 years. So it's not like he has to learn.
That's the whole Sirianni time?
Yeah, he's been here. He's been the passing game coordinator, assistant head coach. So it's not like Jalen has to learn new terminology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He knows what Jalen can do. He knows what he's good at. He knows what he's weak at. And I think with the addition of Scott Leffler, I think there's going to be a little bit more in the pass game. The offense should revolve around Saquon as long as he's healthy. But I think they're going to try to push that a little bit. And I think the fact that Kevin Petula has been here so long, that can help with Jalen.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of ways to go, and I'm curious where you stand at 215-592-9494 for what you're really looking forward to. And there's, you know, I'm sure we all got 100 or 1,000 answers. I'll give you two off the top of my head what I'm you know, certainly cranked up about. One is the Saquon Barkley experience. To see it again. You know, few athletes in Philadelphia sports have ever grabbed our attention the way he did last year. Allen Iverson did. Exciting, electrifying, entertaining. Ryan Howard in that 06 season when he matched 58 homers it was nuts. I mean, there's a couple athletes that have come through where it's just must-see TV or in person. And Saquon Barkley certainly last year represented that. My guess is will again. You know, you never know what's going to happen on the injury front. But just to see this guy play football, to me, is a thrill. So to see it again is – and I agree with James. I think they will lean on him slightly less. Maybe even more than slightly less. We'll see. But the Saquon Barkley experience is for me number one. I'll give you number two because we just haven't had a ton of this kind of for a while in Philly sports. And that's the and I mean this is no disrespect to the Phils, who we day by day cover, follow, and kind of live and die with. But the intensity of an NFL Eagles game day, it's just a different thing. It just is. You guys know. I mean, it's the bottom line is every NFL game, every Eagles game feels, I mean, it has a different feeling. When you wake up, it has a different feeling. When you're watching it for those 3 hours, it has a different feeling. What you feel afterwards, win or lose, is a different feeling. And I was thinking about it before the show. When's the last time with the other three teams we had it to those to the level that a regular Sunday?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Eagles regular season game represents. Well, for the Phillies, it would be game four last year versus the Mets. That it's at that type of intensity. October baseball. I mean, it's just, okay. For the Sixers, it would be game six versus the Knicks. So Phillies, Mets, game four. Sixers, Knicks, game six. So the Sixers, Jody, we're now over 1 year since that feeling. You know how long it's been on the Flyers?
And oh, by the way, leading into the game, good feeling?
Well, they had just stolen the game five versus the Knicks, but you still knew they had to win two, and, you know.
Yeah.
And for the Flyers, the last time you had that feeling of, like, massive excitement, anticipation, and drama to that level, 5 years ago. It was when they played a game seven in the second round versus the Islanders in the pandemic year in a
pandemic
bubble.
Yep.
I mean, the Flyers haven't had a game in 5 years that has the kind of juice that any Eagles regular season game has. So I'm looking forward to that week after week after week. Because you know the deal. You know what a Sunday in the fall feels like. So just getting that feeling back and having it every week, that's an awesome thing for us as sports fans. All right, tough day for me yesterday. Fun day, but tough day. Great days for a great day, that is, for Bryce Harper, Jesus Luzardo, and Mr. Jack Fritz. You can weigh in. I'll answer any question you got. I ain't going to duck it. Well, then maybe I will. Maybe I'll go back and take another shower and be that guy, Jody, that lets my teammates. No, I'm here. Let's do it. Eagles, also, what are you looking forward to? New season. Season starts in, believe it or not, the regular season, less than 2 months. Training camp in 12 days. Let's rock and roll. What are you fired up about? What are you excited about? To the phones we go. 215-592-9494. Ed in Phoenixville kicks us off. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joe. Got to admit, I'm happy for Fritz that he came out and just did his thing yesterday. You know, it was kind of the expectation before the golf meltdown anyway, but, you know, we have a competition now.
We do.
Let's go.
We definitely do. I feel good having stolen home court advantage in the first two, so to speak. If you asked me before, would I be happy with a split after two? The answer is absolutely. And to me, I always viewed the path as I had to win one of those first two, win tennis, win basketball. So to me, I'm on track. Now, I'm not saying that to excuse my performance yesterday, but I do feel like I'm still in a pretty good spot. He's obviously in a much better spot than he had been going into yesterday. And let's rock and roll and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think what Jack needs to be careful of is not getting the mindset of, well, I should be up 2-0 and this thing should be over. You know, take it from week to week.
Well, Ed, yeah, so I will tell you, because obviously I've been playing some psychological games. I think that's very obvious, both with my social media and on-air presence the last month or so. I will adjust as needed moving forward, but I will tell you this. I will dwell often on the radio, at least I expect to, over the next month and a half or so, however long this goes, to hopefully have Jack feel the burn of that meltdown from Goff, because I think when all is said and done, that will cost him the overall competition. And he can quote me on the show today by pulling this audio.
Whoa, look at you, coming in confident
he
today,
can,
huh?
He can quote me on that.
Shook by yesterday?
Oh, I'm not shook at all.
Look at that.
James, when he loses basketball in front of what will probably be over 1,000 people to lose this thing 3-2 overall, he will walk off that court thinking about Goff.
So you have to win tennis to start, because offense, I saw you run yesterday.
Yes.
I am positive you're losing sprinting.
How bad was it?
I would bet my life that Jack will, and I've never even seen Jack sprint. Like, I don't need to. Like, that was, the molasses is putting it lightly.
Jody, is it that bad? Because I've heard that from a few people since yesterday.
Usually when a guy goes out of the box, you use a stopwatch to see if he can get there.
Yes.
Someone had an egg timer yesterday on Joe. It was not pretty, him going down the line.
Oh, man. All right, Ed, what are you looking forward to at the Eagles season?
Couple of things, really, and surprise, surprise. One of them is regarding Jordan Davis. Just really want to see him continue the progress that he made in the conference championship and Super Bowl, and see how his fitness is doing. I mean, I think the fact that the Eagles picked up his option is kind of a vote of confidence in that regard. I mean, and they really did, in, you know, outside of a draft pick and developing Ajamo, like, they did really bring in somebody to push him.
And so, I thought they made a mistake on that. I'm not pounding the table and going crazy like it's an all-time mistake, but if you ask me, whatever that number came out to, 10 to 12 million for Jordan Davis for 1 year, I would have said thumbs down. So the Eagles, you know, stuck their neck out. Now, part of that is I think they probably believe in him somewhat for the future, so they want to try to keep him in the fold to keep him for years to come. But, I mean, do I think he's a $10 million player? I do not. And I wasn't shocked they made the decision. I was a little surprised. A little surprised. But teams often do that, you know, with a first-round pick. They want to hang on to that guy and then try to play it out another year and help him hopefully turn the corner. Because let's be real, he has not turned the corner. Now, I don't act like he's, you know, bum, nothing like that. He's a contributor, but he's not much more than what I'd call a contributor. Yes, he did play well at the very end of the season, but for the bulk of the year, did not. It was okay. It's okay. It wasn't bad. But, I mean, Mac, man, were you surprised they went in on 10-plus mil for him?
No.
You know, he only plays about 15, 20 plays a game.
As the caller pointed out, they know his role. We might not think his role is enough to merit 10 mil. They do, because he is very good at stopping the run. He does one thing very well. Now, he's got a superstar playing next to him, which makes him look bad because he never gets at the quarterback and his teammate gets by guys like this standing still on the line.
Yep.
So I think that makes him look lesser than he actually is. But they have what his role needs to be in the Fangio defense, and I believe they believe he's a perfect fit. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised at all that they picked
him. Yeah, they don't do that if Fangio doesn't sign off on it.
I tend to agree.
But
while I love Vic Fangio, it doesn't mean he's going to bat 1,000 every time. I mean, you know, he's going to make his mistakes. And, you know, look, they let go of better players. And I'm not saying you could have kept Milton Williams for the Jordan Davis money, but you could have probably kept Slay, right? Probably. So 215-592-94.
Well, that's the way you look at it? They made a financial decision?
Yeah.
Because I think those were all separate decisions.
Well, but a cap's a cap. I mean, there's a certain amount of money to spend. And if I give you a dollar, it means it's one less dollar to read. I mean, it's a cap. You know, our team's got a cap. So, like, it is what it is.
I think they look at them individually. You're right. There's an eventual number that you can't go over.
Yeah,
but I don't think if they had decided to not pick up the option, which, by the way, the option isn't for 2 years. So the effect on if Sweat got a multi-year deal. CJGJ got 1 year. And Slay, they decided to move on from. I don't think those two things tie together at all. I think they made individual decisions on all of them.
Well, Jack Fritz certainly got some respect yesterday. And you can also ding that Bell Seltzer for this reality. He needed it. Badly. Badly. He needed that dub, and he got it. So good to him. Good for him. By the way, I felt bad. I really did that I didn't give the crowd a better show. I feel bad about that. I apologize for that.
I could tell it really bothered you.
I'll just say it bothered me. It disappointed me. I had so much fun. Like, I don't know that anything really bothered me. I wanted to win, but I had so much fun that I wasn't really bothered. But I just, I was disappointed. I was disappointed that I did. I can honestly tell you I was more disappointed to not give the crowd a better show than I was disappointed having lost. I mean that. I expected to do better. I expected him to do worse. I expected me to do better, and the fact that he did so well and I did so poorly is, certainly a mark against me. So we got a competition, to say the least. We're 1-1. Credit to Jack, and congrats to him on the victory yesterday. Let's listen to how they started their show yesterday. We'll play two pieces of audio. We're going to get to a lot as we move through the show, but let's give you two big ones off the top, how they started their show, and then eventually we'll get here to Jack's first main commentary on it. But Ike, he brought it out yesterday. Deservedly so. Here's how they started yesterday.
He left it all out there. Eight up, eight down, 30 pitches, 22 strikes, 5 strikeouts. It's 1-1 because Jack Fritz beat Joe DiCamera today in dominating fashion. There he is.
There we go.
Ike Reese, rather. How you feeling, brother? Sorry. It's
victory! Now, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Had to be a special day today to bring that out.
Yeah.
I don't bring that out for anyone but the Midnight Green. And for my boy, Jackie Baseball, to go out there and do what he did today under these conditions, under these circumstances, got to tip my cap to you, my brother. Listen, shout out to Joe DiCamera. He put up a valiant effort, but it wasn't good enough. This is Jack's element. He was in his wheelhouse, and it showed today.
You know, it did. I mean, it showed in a big way. He pumped. Jody, were you surprised? Because we actually have two different Twitter poll questions of the day today, one of which is about the competition. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin Certified One Owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. By the way, I did chuckle because I listened to that live. Once when Ike brought out the victory, that was
pretty
right.
Awesome.
That's some good showmanship right there. But Jody, Twitter poll question: did Jack Fritz throwing such a high percentage of strikes surprise you?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But I will say this: I got there early. Did you make good time on the Schuylkill going out?
I can't even remember how I went. I don't know. I got out there. I went first. I ate. So what do you think my routine was? And I admitted this on the air. Pre-match routine. Eat,
yeah.
Then?
I don't know.
Go to McDonald's, go to the bathroom. I did not eat at McDonald's. I did my typical. You go to one spot.
Of course.
You drive about 10 more minutes. You find a Mickey D's. You unload, and then you gear up at the facility.
Silly me, I was thinking bidet. That there would be a...
Well, I was thinking, are we going to have porta potties? Are we going to have concessions? But how many... It was unbelievable. Anyway, Jody, I'm sorry to break your stride.
Not a problem. I did get there early because I made great time going out there. Because anytime you got to take the Schuylkill all the way to the Blue Route, you're banking on an hour because traffic every hour of the day in this town is difficult on the Schuylkill. I made it out there in, 35 minutes. I couldn't believe how fast. So I was there before 11 o'clock for a 12 o'clock outing. So I sat around and listened to the radio WIP in the car. And I went out, and I was out on the field before you were, and Fritz was there early.
Yeah.
And I was watching him warm up. He was long tossing in the outfield. I said, uh-oh, he's looking free and easy. It really looked like he was just in his natural element.
Yeah,
it can get different when it gets on the mound.
Yeah.
Just the warming up is one thing. Doing it in the heat of competition or quasi-competition.
Jody, he had a couple of practice warm-up pitches right before the competition began. Like a typical pitcher on the mound, not like side mound, not bullpen.
Right.
But he's right in front of the crowd. It's about to start in about 1 minute. He threw, five or six pitches in that sequence before it started. He bounced a couple, and I thought maybe this process of unraveling is beginning because the crowd got on him, and I thought, okay, this is good. And then as soon as the competition started, he pumped in strikes.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a lot of strikes. Here's Jack's first main statement yesterday talking about what went down.
It was a good day. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to feel my elbow tomorrow. We left it all on the line. But, we had to do what we had to do. Could tell early it was going to go a certain way. If as long as I threw strikes,
yep.
I felt pretty confident. But man, 8-0. I'm glad it was 8-0. I'm glad I didn't mess around and hit him.
Yep.
I wanted straight domination, and I got straight domination.
He sure did. He caused straight domination. Look, credit to him. By the way, the other poll question we have today is who's most likely to start a playoff game this year for the Phillies? We got three choices that I think are all vying for the fourth spot, I think. And that's A, Jesus Luzardo, who had a big bounce back yesterday. B, Aaron Nola, who's obviously been one of their main two pitchers for the last 5 years, 10 years, really. And C, Andrew Painter, who, of course, we all hope becomes the replacement of Zach Wheeler in future years as the ace. I think he's lagging in getting there this year as one of these guys for the postseason to start. But we'll ask you, Luzardo, Nola, Painter. You certainly can make a case for all three for October. Who do you think is most likely to start an October game? Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Phoenixville right now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody. Joe, I commend you for what you did yesterday. Even though
we know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Lost to go out there in front of a very large crowd because I was there. I was behind the home plate, right by your guys' dugout, and there was some vitriol in your way. And you went out there and you have stones to do what you did because there was a lot of people and it was hot. It was really hot out there. So. Don't dwell on it too much, buddy. I give you all the credit in the world for what you did. So just, think about it today, talk about today, and then just move on. And
yeah, well, I'll use it as some fuel. But look, I appreciate that. And honestly, I had a blast, Jeff. I wanted
fun.
To win, but it was fun.
It was also
gratifying to see so many people and to know how ridiculous it is that this silly competition has turned into something that many, many, many people care about.
When I pulled in, I saw the small amount of people, I'm like, oh my God, this is bigger than I thought. And then everybody just start filing in from the parking lot. And then where I was at, we had a small group of people that were rooting for you. Some guy named Tony was there and a couple other older people there were there. They were just all rooting for you and fired because that second pitch was a bit high. But, just to go out there and do that in front of all those people, because I hate going, when I used to go golfing a ton, I hated just going off the first tee.
First tee, I know.
And then, but you got 400 people there, so God bless you, buddy. That was really good.
You.
So just, worry about the tennis now. What you need for tennis, because I played, and we've talked about this before in the past, you need reps. You need
constant. Jeff, okay. what I need to win tennis is a tennis racket. That's all I need.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess a ball as well. That's all I need.
The one thing with Fritz, I've learned from playing a lot of people that don't play but they play golf, they play tennis. They overswing and then they can't keep the ball on the court. So I think you should have tennis easily.
Look, here's the deal. If he's decent, then he could beat me. It sounds, the way he has expressed it on the air, it sounds like he's not much of, I'm not saying I'm great. I'm not great. But like, do I think I'm better than the average bear? Yeah. And so if he stinks, I guarantee I'll win. Like if he stinks, I'll totally win. If he can hang, then that could go either way. I don't know anything about his game other than he has not expressed much positivity about his tennis game. So I generally feel confident, but that's knowing that there's things I don't know, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't see him using topspin and backspin and stuff like that. I just figure he might just try to dink it around the court. So just, play heady and, you should just be able to take him pretty quickly there. So, and real quick on the Eagles, if I could.
Yeah, please do.
I'm looking forward to Mitchell and DeGene second year. Yeah. I want to see what they learned. Breakout years for both of them, and I just want to see how much better they're going to be, because I just think it's going to be even more so than what we got last year, which was amazing.
Incredible.
Surprise.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Hey, Jeff, great phone call. Thanks for being there yesterday, man. It was a lot of fun. It was great seeing you. I appreciate it. So five questions for the Mac Man. Whenever Jody's here, we do five questions on a daily basis. Jody, question number one today, because we could do a poll on this one and it might come out 50-50. Forget even right now. Let's go career. Who's going to have a better career, Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeGene?
Good question.
Tough question.
I would say and again, I have no idea what they're going to do, but just judging by what they've done so far, I would say Quinyon because he's going to stay outside.
I agree with you. Maybe not for that reason. I think he's just slightly better. But I mean, Cooper DeGene's amazing. But we discussed this on the show a few weeks ago, and we were saying who's currently better, not 10 years, future. But we all gave it as a slight lean to Quinyon. I think Cooper gets more pub. He's the rookie. I mean, not the rookie. He was the touchdown in the Super Bowl as a rookie, on his birthday, that whole thing. But, like, if you ask me, and again, it's very close, but if I had to say who do I think is better and who do I think will have a better career, I would give a slightly to Quinyon Mitchell.
And DeGene has had a nice offseason. His dunking quality was out there viral and got a lot of attention. And then he goes to Smitty's softball game and wins the home run derby and the MVP. Now, that's got nothing to do with how he's going to play week three in the NFL this upcoming season, but it does get the fan base excited.
Let me give you a full disclosure. I don't even know if I said this on the air from 2 weeks ago when I was at Kelsey's events. Jody, I was emceeing so me, Jason Kelsey, and Kylie Kelsey, we all had microphones sort of co-emceeing this charity thing that they had, the Kelsey Games, whatever the whole thing's called, raising a lot of money, Eagles Autism Foundation, and a lot of drinking games involved, and some athletic elements to drinking games involved. Until the very end, Cooper DeGene was dominating this thing along with Sidney Brown. I mean, I can't describe to you the level of domination, because it's literally like people like you and me, it was like regular Joes, and then you would have NFL players mixed in. Current or past. Connor Barwin was there. Bo Allen was there. Landon Dickerson was there. And as I said, Cooper DeGene and Sidney Brown. When Cooper DeGene first stepped up for this one competition, I had just gotten there. Like, because I did the show. They started this thing in the 11 o'clock hour. I got there a little bit into it because finished the show here at 10. Got to Seattle around, 11:30, whatever. When Cooper DeGene came up for this first competition, and he was like the fourth or fifth person I'd seen after a few Joes, I had no idea it was Cooper DeGene. I just thought it was some jacked, regular, random 20-something-year-old. And then I see him scoot on this thing, this athletic thing he did. I'm like, holy hell, that guy's... And I still didn't know it was Cooper DeGene. And then when he came back around, I saw people the way that they reacted to him. I'm like, oh, I think this is Cooper. Because I'd never seen... So anyway, the guy was very impressive. I will say that. All right. By the way, when you call in, it was a little embarrassing. Like, thankfully, because I did this with others, like the randos. Hello, sir. Hello, ma'am. What's your name? I almost...
If you'd done that with Cooper DeGene, you're right. That would have been a little embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
I almost did the what's your name. So thank God I did not. Anyway,
are you serious?
I came. Really, I had no idea it was him.
One of the most recognizable people.
Had no idea.
It's been like the summer of Coop. You
really?
Know, like he's everywhere.
I just thought he was this above average.
That was, that, but that
physique,
was early. The
regular
the
guy.
Kelce thing was before his winning of the MVP in Smitty's.
Yeah, it was the day before.
Game.
I think a day or two before. Yeah. All right. So when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets. This is for tonight. So, like, this last call to win these tickets, Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul tonight at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden. Tickets are still available for $30. You can visit Ticketmaster.com. You can also call us at 215-592-9494 and answer this question. In honor of yesterday and this overall me versus Jack thing, which is obviously silly, but it's been a lot of fun and people seem very engaged in it. I mean, Jody, we get more calls on the me and Jack thing than the Phillies or Eagles these days, which is ridiculous. But in honor of that, and we ask you, what is or who is silly but fun? Jody Mack, when you think silly but fun, best answer, whoever threads that needle of silly and fun, good combination, is going to win the tickets for the concert tonight. Mack, man, what do you got?
Three words. P. We.
Oh.
Herman.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
It's a great answer.
That is. Listen, Pee Wee Herman is a great answer. Potentially could have been a winning answer.
Sorry if I took it from somebody.
I think there are thousands. I think there are hundreds of potential winning answers. Seltzer, silly but fun, what do you got?
A conversation with a child.
Okay. You are not kidding.
No, I know, right?
I miss those.
They're the best. That's it's so silly. It's fun. No idea where it's going to go. They'll say the craziest things. It's hilarious.
That's pretty good. I like that. It's offbeat. Rhea, it's silly but fun.
So it's a song I heard. I was in a store the other day and hadn't heard it. And it makes me laugh. It's Raining Men.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the funniest song. I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So there are songs. There are movies. There are actions in life. Let me give you an action in life. Jody, you did three words. I shall give you three words.
Nice.
Conga line.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea of let me put my hands on your shoulders and you put your hands on someone else's shoulders and that person puts their hands on someone else's shoulders and you form a line and you just start moving through the room, like at a wedding, is
The last wedding I was at. Did you, like, it was really funny.
I mean, of course it's fun.
Completely ridiculous.
And it's as silly as it gets. A conga line.
Had a couple cocktails during the wedding, right. So you're like, who cares?
Exactly. All right, give us a great answer for silly but fun. Best answer by the end of the show. And there are many, 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 many big answers available. So put those thinking caps on. Let us know what you think is the biggest and best answer. 215-592-9494. Jack Fritz certainly answered the bell yesterday. So did Bryce Harper, who had clearly been struggling since coming back from his injury. Let's listen to the sequence, because Bryce had, after an out early in the game, Bryce had four hits and all of them extra base hits. Let's listen to this sequence as he really cranked it up yesterday.
Harper swings, drills it, deep left field. Going back is Ramos. He looks up and it's gone. And Bryce Harper with an opposite field laser to left. Off Verlander, it's his 10th home run of the season, his first since his return from the injured list. 1-0, and a swing and a line drive left center field. That's going to be up the gap and go all the way to the wall. And Harper's around first, on his way to second, cruising in with a double. Beck delivers, and Harper swing and a drive center field and deep. Lee back into his right. He looks up at the wall, and it's off the fence. And Harper is headed for second. He'll be there with another double. And that was oh so close to his second homer of the day. And a 3-2 again. Swung on, line to left center field. On the run, Ramos. This ball is going to bang off the wall as well. And Harper is into second again with his second double of the inning. His third of the day, and it's his first four-hit game this season.
Yeah, that was a big deal yesterday by Bryce. I mean, he was clobbering the ball. And going opposite field, Jody. I mean, a ton. And I'll say this. I feel like given the lag in their lineup, and it is a legitimate lag, and I don't think it's just temporary. I think they're not a great hitting team. They're a great pitching team with the starting pitching. They're not a great hitting team. They really, really, really could use Bryce to get back into that zone. Because the other guys, like, Cassie's not going to get back to 300, 30, and 100. It's done. Those days are done. Stott may never get to 300. You know, Bohm may never get to 25 homers a year. Like, they just have limitations that are irrefutable, I think, at this point. But one thing we know can happen, Bryce can play like an MVP. And if he can get back to that level consistently, Jody, it can make a tremendous difference for this team.
We had Ruben on with us Tuesday morning from San Francisco. Got up really early to jump here on the morning show. Gave him credit for that. And he specifically went out of his way to say, and I watched Harper's batting practice the day before. And man, was he ripping the ball. He was seeing, he putting on a show. And I'm going, it'd be nice if he put on a show during one of the games. I'm glad he's having a nice batting practice, Ruben, but are we making too much of this? It's batting practice.
Right.
And he basically was predicting the breakout's coming. The breakout came yesterday.
It sure did, man.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.